With the advent of compact video cameras and computer-based editing programs, cinematic memoirs might become even more common than their literary counterparts. Film critic David Edelstein says Jonathan Coet's Tarnation sets the bar high, both in terms of the protagonist's hellish life and the quality of his filmmaking.
Tarnation is a memoir written on film, written, you might say, over a 20-year span, and then rubbed and buffed on a Macintosh computer with the program iMovie. My press kit heralds it as a revolution in the audiovisual confessional, which gives me, as a film critic, the heebie-jeebies. That's all we need, more exhibitionists with ready access to cameras and editing software. Probably, after the 5,000th arty home movie collage of someone's lousy childhood, I'll rue the day I called Tarnation a masterpiece. But a masterpiece it is, of a mind-bending modern sort. This story of a 31-year-old man and his mentally ill mother is right on the border between what shrinks call immature acting out and mature artistic sublimation. Jonathan Coet, the filmmaker and protagonist, takes psychodrama shot in the middle of the madness and weaves it together with revelatory photos, surreal montages of Texas landscapes, found footage, clips from Rosemary's Baby and The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, and interviews that swerve right back into psychodrama. You can feel every second the cost to Coet of what he's showing. The sounds and the images are a pipeline from his unconscious to the screen. Coet narrates Tarnation in the third person. He begins with his grandparents, Adolph and Rosemary, and his mother, Renee, a beautiful girl, a child model, relatively normal until she fell off a roof and was partially paralyzed for no clear physiological reason, and had shock treatments every 3 weeks for 2 years, and was still beautiful, but began to unravel even before her brief marriage to Jonathan's dad. Then Renee impulsively took Jonathan from Houston to Chicago, where right off the bus she got raped in front of her son. On the bus back, she and the boy were thrown off for disturbing the passengers. Renee was jailed, then institutionalized, while Jonathan ended up in a foster home, where he was abused until his grandparents managed to adopt him. Coet speaks of becoming more and more detached from himself and his feelings, and so his third-person storytelling feels apt. And then he shows us something uncanny, a film of himself as an 11-year-old in makeup and a female wig, reciting a monologue by a Southern rape victim with a young son. On one level, he's appalling. He's mannered. He's overacting. He keeps touching his face compulsively. But he's not overacting as an 11-year-old boy. He's overacting as a 30-year-old woman. And he's weeping and losing control as a 30-year-old woman. He is clearly over-identified with his mother and is acting out some fantasy version of her hell. Renee didn't actually raise Jonathan. His grandparents did. And so she's never quite the oppressive Gorgon of other monster mother sagas. She was lost to him, and he adores her, even as he documents her unraveling on camera.
How do you get in with a face looking into the camera lens or somewhere else?
Yeah, in the camera lens. Yeah,
I would like to display my earrings, which I bought them at Elizabeth Taylor's boutique in California. Yes, that's in San Francisco. And she also has this boutique in Houston. These are what she wore in her White Diamonds commercial. And I've become overwhelmed by these earrings because they are White Diamonds, and they are an authentic possession that Elizabeth Taylor once wore. I gotta run over to my apartment in LA and pick up some items and bring them to my son who is in Houston. It makes no sense, but that's all I could think of.
Coet sees his mother, Renee, as a casualty of the mental health system, as someone who didn't start out schizoid but ended up that way after those shock treatments and years of hospitalization. I don't know if he's right about that, but his empathy is a counterweight to his exploitation. We see his mother through his eyes, and her illness tears us up. More important, we see the roots of Coet's artistic impulses, how it began with self-dramatization. He's a real drama queen. How self-dramatization runs in the family, and how the boy discovers underground filmmaking and gropes to find a way to act out in a strange new medium. His debt to gut bucket horror movies and musicals and David Lynch and Gus Van Sant's My Own Private Idaho is obvious. Van Sant even became an executive producer, as did John Cameron Mitchell of Hedwig and the Angry Inch. But the kaleidoscope that is Tarnation is all by itself in its cathartic blend of biography and hallucination. I don't know where that title comes from. It's never explained. But as I watched, I thought, in breathless admiration, what in tarnation?
David Edelstein is film critic for the online magazine Slate.